You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat. We spoke about youth justice and the Ngāti Ki Tamaki settlement bill. Here's Andrew.
Youth offending, it's dropped in recent years, but it still remains quite high. What reforms are this government looking at in youth justice specifically?
I think, what the figures show is that actually the more serious offending by young people is still a serious problem. The lower level offending has been dropping off. I think the important thing is the interventions that we do for youth offenders are vitally important. We've, in credit to the previous government, we've picked up where they've left off with the Rangatahi courts, the Māori version of the youth court, which is in a more kind of culturally appropriate environment for young offenders. And those courts have been evaluated already as leading to a 10 to 15% fall in offending for young offenders.
So what sort of goes on in these courts?
So the judge who sits in the court, it's a Māori judge, and they look at the offender, they look at their family, their whānau and their hapū and iwi and who they connect with, and they look at their personal situation, and they work with the offender to find a response to their offending that means that they get good support and get on a path where the choice to offend is much less likely. And if there are personal issues that they need to address, and it might be addiction issues, it might be other issues, might be family violence issues, that they actually get help with those things. So, we don't continue to feed the pipeline of young offenders going into the adult criminal justice system. The stories I've heard have been pretty amazing. I heard one story actually in Christchurch Rangatahi Court, where the judge was sitting with the young person and immediately identified what their iwi origins were. It wasn't a South Island iwi, it was a North Island iwi. Got into a conversation with that young person, went through their life story about how they'd come from the north, they'd moved to the south, they'd become disconnected, family had become disconnected. And through that conversation and with others, then come up with a set of responses for that young person's offending. And according to their lawyer, that person has never been to court since. So it's finding that, it's doing the right intervention at the right time. The police have an initiative called iwi justice panels. Again, the previous government supported that. We're continuing to support it. And that's where the police actually, it's not a formal, they don't sit in front of a judge. It's actually local Kaumata and Kuia, as well as others in the community. And others can, it might be school principal or a school teacher or others come along and participate in that. It's an alternative to a family group conference, but it actually deals with somebody who has offended and then again talks about what do we need to do to fix up things in your life that have led to you to, to choose to offend, and we can stop this choice happening in the future.
I suppose how important is it that youth offenders are kept out of prison? I mean, at such an early stage, how important is it that they are reformed?
It's absolutely vital. I mean, the thing is, and you talk to corrections officers and you talk to police and they say, look, once somebody winds up in prison, in adult prison in their 20s, it gets harder and harder to change habits and change attitudes and do the change that's needed to give someone a fulfilling life. So what we do at the youth end is absolutely vital. We're constantly looking at that. I think what we do in our youth justice facilities that are run by Oranga Tamariki is very important. In fact, I'm meeting with the Minister for Children, who's responsible for Oranga Tamariki and the youth justice facilities. It's Tracy Martin, meeting with her today to talk about that very thing, about what can we do to make sure that what we're doing at that level is the best possible and gives us the best possible chance of giving those young people who wind up in those facilities a chance at a decent life.
Ngāti Tamaki settlement has passed its final reading in the House. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yeah, this is, we've got a set of settlements and coming to their conclusion. The third reading of a treaty settlement bill is the final concluding step. It legislates the redress, if you like, and whatever else is needed to bring the settlement to life. So we had couple of hundred of Ngāi Tamaki folks down here last week. The third reading is a real chance for them to celebrate. They came all the way from Tamaki Makaurau. They're there in kind of the South Auckland area. And what the treaty settlement does, amongst other things, in addition to providing some financial redress and return of culturally important land and sometimes other land on a commercial basis, one of the most important things in it is the historical account and the apology that goes with it. So this is an iwi where, as the Europeans were settling and as government was sort of being created, they actually cooperated very, very heavily with the European population. But what happened, they were effectively taken advantage of. And so land sales that were made were clearly, below the real value of the land. And then a governor stepped in and said, right, we're going to take so much of this land, we'll reserve some of it for you, a third of it, and in the end they didn't even get that third of the land that was meant to be reserved for them. So it's things like that, and you get that down in the historical account and you realise kind of the significance of what happened in the European settlement and colonisation. And the treaty settlement, look, it never fully compensates for the loss, but it does acknowledge the historical wrong, it provides some redress, and it allows the iwi to get back to providing a foundation so they can provide for their people and their descendants, and that's really what the process is about.
Because a Labour MP, Penny Hinare, has criticised the $12.7 million in compensation, calling it a pittance. Do you think it's quite low?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, the financial compensation never—it's not restitution. It will never fully compensate for the actual loss or the value of the real loss. I think with iwi like Ngāi Ki Tamaki, they also participate in other settlements, so collective settlements. So they are part of the Hauraki collective of iwi, and they are part of Tamaki collective of iwi as well. So they'll get other redress through other settlements. But no, I mean, Pendi Hinare is absolutely right, and I've never made any secret of the fact, and I don't think any other treaty negotiations minister has either, that the financial settlements that are done are not full compensation for the actual loss. But it does provide some compensation. It allows iwi to form an economic base that allows them to kind of, pick up some pieces and start to build a foundation. And from the Crown's point of view too, it means that they can establish an organisation and structures and an economic base, and it means the Crown can engage with them more as an equal partner in the future. It doesn't stop the Crown discharging its obligation to all citizens to, provide decent welfare and education and health and those sorts of things. But in terms of restoring a sense of identity and the mana of the iwi, which is absolutely vital, and for the uri, their people, that's a very important step.
There's also $50,000 for cultural revitalisation. What does this entail?
So that typically is used for things like it might be either some artwork or some carvings, or it might be assisting with re-establishing or restoring te reo amongst that iwi. It might be, if they've got marae that are run down, it might assist them with restoring marae in those sort of circumstances. I mean, usually, and I don't know what the specifics are for Ngāi Ki Tamaki, but normally they have a list of things that they want done that kind of helps them with the rest of their people. $50,000, I can't imagine
we'll get terribly much
what
done.
That might go to George, but it sounds like it might be to either get some carvings done, or to restore some artwork, or to restore some marae, so they're in a good state.
So what's next for the government and the iwi?
Well, the agreement also includes, as we routinely do, commitments to for specific government departments and agencies to have a formal relationship with the iwi. So those will be all signed off and then you work out how you're going to conduct that relationship. So recently we had a group of iwi from Te Huku, that's the far north, where actually an agreement had been made back in, I think, 2012 about their relationship with ministries and the senior levels of the ministries about how they were going to address issues in their area. And actually, they have not met since 2012, since they signed it off. So we made it. Actually, it was Carmel Cipollone as the Minister of Social Development, because they were the primary kind of agency that they had an agreement with. She organised their meeting. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago down here in Wellington, where they came down from the far north. They had not only ministers, I think at one point there were about seven or eight ministers in the room, as well as the heads of various government departments and agencies, and we had three or four hours of engagement and dialogue and presentations on what some of the issues were and what some of the steps that could be taken. That's about getting the relationship underway. And I think what this government is conscious of is that it's not good enough just to sign a piece of paper and say, yep, we're going to have these relationships, and then not do anything about it. You've actually got to make them real. And we are committed to, and Kelvin Davis, as Crown Māori Relations Minister, is committed to making these commitments real.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.